Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
I don't have my headphones on, so I'm just going to guess. Yes, yes. I was talking Navy caps with Randy Carricker. And Jackson, let me tell you something. I want you to listen and listen good.
Yep, turn on my headphones.
Randy Carricker just said he endorses the Navy caps on the road. And I feel like I just got the endorsement of insert your favorite politician right here. Because I can't win this race to have the Cardinals return to Navy caps on the road without the credibility of the Randy Carricker endorsement.
It's so strong because it's just the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
They won a world championship with him in 2006. They won a world championship with him in 2011. They got rid of him. Matt Kapan just struck out at Fenway wearing a red helmet.
Picturing it
2013 World Series, just in case you didn't know what I was talking about, because I realize not everybody's mind is as brilliant as mine and can carry over those memories from 11 years ago in a six-game loss to the Sox.
I appreciate the context.
No problem.
I picture the road uniform in my head with the red caps.
And does it make you just like
there's
nauseous.
A knot in my stomach. Like, it's seriously, it's just so aesthetically unpleasant, especially when, like, if I had never known about the Navy caps, then I wouldn't think anything of
but
it.
But now you know about it.
But I mean, I grew up with it. That was, 2012 or 13 is when they switched over. So I was in high school.
12, I believe.
Yeah, so I was a freshman in high school when they changed it. And it's just so frustrating because it's such a unique look. It makes them stand out from teams like the Reds, teams like the Phillies. And now they just look like everyone else, and it sucks. It sucks. And, the red cap looks good, but it looks better when you only see it at home games.
The Southampton Barbershop has a message for you.
Okay.
Dude.
Yes.
Let the past go.
See, I do think that often...
Air Comfort Service text line, 314-399-9646.
I do often think we romanticize the past
a
little too much.
The way this whole conversation started was Randy Carricker says to me as I walk into the studios, Block M or no Block M? And Jackson, my answer was, I say Block M, we're talking for Missouri, probably addressing Jackson's Missouri Tigers script hoodie that he's wearing, for those of you watching on YouTube. If not, you ought to check it out. And I said, I say Block M, but that's because when I was in school in the late 90s when they were wearing the Block M, and I picture what Missouri was wearing, whether it be in 97 against Nebraska in the flea kicker game with gold pants, or what Chase Daniel and Jeremy Macklin were wearing in 2007 with yellow pants but Block M, and white jerseys against Rock Chalk Jayhawk and Armageddon and Arrowhead. And so I know I have a bias. So that speaks to what you were saying with romanticizing the past and what the Southampton Barbershop is telling you to stop doing.
Yeah. And listen, I totally understand that I think we over romanticize the past. We always think like, oh, a simpler time. Well, I think if you were to flash back to that point, some of those stresses that you've forgotten about would return and then you wouldn't say such a thing. However, I think in the case of the Navy cap, that's just purely like you put it side by side. I don't think I'm romanticizing the past. I think that's just a better look.
I agree.
I think sometimes people get caught up in like especially with the Missouri helmet, like the Block M brings them back to a different time in their life. I kind of like what they did with the script helmet in that spring game.
I saw that. I liked it as well.
Yeah. I'm usually hesitant on full names on the side of the helmet. The only team that really does it great, in my opinion, is the Giants. Like when they sit right Giants on the side of the helmet, I think that looks good. But the script Missouri logo, I thought it looked good.
I kind of liked it, and I think it had positive equity. It might be something that brings the Missouri factions together because there's the Block M faction, and there's the Oval Tiger faction, and so on and so forth. A lot of support for the Navy caps. I mean, look at these texts, Jackson.
Yeah.
Wasn't even really planning on talking about this outside of right at the end. I mean, 3 seconds. Jackson says 5 seconds. And I said to Randy, Navy caps. He said, oh, you better believe it. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to run for office.
Hell yeah. Where are you at on the Sunday cap?
I don't really care for it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not. I just don't. I like that.
I've never really liked it.
The STL logo is so iconic and awesome because it's also like a logo for the entire city, not just the Cardinals. And then when you get rid of it for a day, it's like, I don't really love just the bird. Like,
I just don't really think it's that great.
No.
But they've been wearing that for a long time.
Yeah.
The red on the road is aesthetically displeasing.
Oh, it's just nasty. It just doesn't work. Like, the navy is such a cool pop of color.
I get it. You don't mess with it. I think Roll Tide's going to mess with their jerseys now that Kalen DeBoer is the head coach. Hell no.
If it ain't broke. Yeah, there's some like legacy schools that kind of mess around, but they never like strain too far away from it. You know, like Ohio State might mess around, but it's always scarlet and gray for the most part.
Fighting Irish will bring out the green jersey for a game.
Sometimes they gotta unify the gold. Sometimes they wear two different shades of gold on their jerseys and with their helmets. And,
oh, you're noticeably anti-Irish. I've noticed that.
Look at the camera again. Love the Irish people.
Yeah.
I respect Irish heritage.
You go after the Irish and me and the Italians and my wife and both of us have and our respective people have noticed it. So just to let you know, you're on notice.
Just be careful.
That's all I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the program is called Balloon Party. It is brought to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. My name is Timothy Mike McKernan. I have the support of Randy Carricker for the Navy caps and their return for the Cardinals. But they will pay tribute to the early 90s Cardinals by wearing the red caps next week when they open the season against the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A. Jackson Burkett today has 6 questions for both me and you, the audience, and you can watch us answer those questions and participate in the conversation with the Balloon Party Mafia on the YouTube chat 101 ESPN. You can see Jackson's hoodie with that Tigers script on.
Love
there.
Script, man. I'm a huge script
Your
fan.
Script guy?
Shout out to Illinois. They bring their basketball uniforms are up there with
yeah,
my favorites.
Yeah, I agree.
In the country.
I got to tell you, I agree with you on that.
Orange and navy is already just an outstanding color combo.
That sounds like your War Damn Eagle all day.
Ugh, no.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, you just said you like the orange
and navy. Is a great combo, but there has to be another step past that. And the script logo combined with the block eye, it just looks outstanding. The shorts look great. Illinois does everything right with their basketball uniforms.
It is a sharp look. We'll see how they handle up Boerhaave State. Ooh. 40 hours away from that, and then the first four tonight. What are you going to be watching tonight? Because we got Blues and Avalanche pregame 6 p.m. Every game now is like a playoff game as we run down the final 14. By the way, the Kraken and the Flames lose last night, in case you were worried about them, and I know you are.
I'll be watching the first four. I'll be watching, I think, Howard and Wagner.
Howard Stern and Casey Musgraves.
No, Howard University Wagner. That's my plan. Listen, I get it. The Blues are fighting for a spot, and I hope they win. And I really want them to beat the Avalanche because I hated that.
You want them so bad that you're not going to watch it. You're too nervous to watch.
I wanted that playoff series to, you know, that really left a sour taste, not only in mine, but most Blues fans' mouths.
Oh, wow. A little callback to the Kadri run?
That's right. Running them. having said that, March basketball is like just inject it right into my veins. So if I have an opportunity to watch that, I'm sorry. I have to.
You know what? I've got this 20 years of TMA.
Yeah.
You call it a Hall of Fame broadcast career. I don't want to assume that I'm going into the Hall of Fame.
Right. You don't want to count your chickens.
I just understand that it's going to happen,
right?
Because of my accomplishments and talent,
right? Like Verlander then, like, can't
the,
say it.
I think it's the humility and the likability, though, that puts it over the top. But I want to read something that the Colonel wrote, Gabe DeArmond, brought to you on this presentation in TMA by James Carlton, the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, Off Times. And as I was reading this yesterday, I thought, I wonder what Jackson would say to this, but then I'm really curious about what the audience would say, because I kind of know where you are and you kind of know where I am with college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't like, I want you to be on my side, because I don't really care. you know, and you don't, I mean, I guess you'd like it if more people were into college basketball, mm-hmm. but you're, the fact that people aren't as into it as they may have once been, I don't think ruins your enjoyment of it.
Not
you see what I'm saying? Like for me, like I'm not going to break down the Players' Championship, but I was watching Scottie Scheffler and Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm not going to break it down because I know that that's not necessarily a mass appeal topic. But this is what I want to read here, and I want to see, because the Colonel was on one on yesterday on powermizzou.com, and this is what he wrote, and I'm curious what your thoughts are in the audience in particular, because you probably know where I am and where Jackson is with regard to it. He wrote, "For the first time I can remember in my life, I did not watch the NCAA tournament selection show on Sunday. I was driving back from Kansas City after my nephew's birthday party yesterday. If I'd been home, I might have turned it on TV, but I'm not sure. I haven't watched a full college basketball game I wasn't covering all year long. If you combine my college basketball viewing of games Missouri was not playing in over the course of the season, it might add up to 3 or 4 hours total. I'll probably watch some of the tournament, but I'm not invested in it. I don't know what the tip times are. I don't know a lot of the matchups. I'm not sure who should have gotten in and who shouldn't have. For most of the last 4 decades, the NCAA tournament has been my favorite sporting event. I'd watch almost every minute of coverage in the first 2 weekends. I'd fill out a bracket, usually more than one. I was an addict. And now I found I don't really need the drug. If it's there and I've got nothing else to do, I might use a little. But I'm not concerned I'll get hooked again, at least not this year. If the team I cover gets back to relevancy and is playing, I'm sure I'll care more than I do this year, but I'm not sure I'll ever care like I used to care. And maybe that's just me getting old. Maybe it says something about college basketball and its place in the general sports landscape now. Maybe it's some of both. I don't know. I still want to care. I just don't." And I'm curious, when people hear that, does that resonate with you? Or do you find that to be a foreign opinion? Because that resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And I miss it. I share that. It's not like I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch it. I just am not nearly as in. And what people will say, and I know it, so I want to be on the offensive about it, is that, well, you would care if Missouri was in it. And Missouri was in it last year. And when Missouri lost to Princeton, it didn't impact my mood. Missouri lost to Florida State, I think, at 18. It didn't impact my mood. At some point, they lost to Oklahoma in between
21.
Didn't impact my mood. It just isn't, for me, what it was. And I don't necessarily know why. And yet, when Missouri lost to LSU in a regular season college football game that didn't eliminate them from anything, really, I don't want to say I was despondent, because I wasn't despondent, but it absolutely impacted me emotionally in a negative way. And so I'm curious as to why that is. Now, I know, number one, you're 20 years younger than me, but number two, you're a huge basketball fan and you love college basketball as well. So we are, our positions, aren't they, not even really positions, that's just what we like and what we don't like.
Right.
There's nothing, I'm not going to convince you and you're not going to convince me, nor would I try to, and right. I'd be weirded out if you tried to do it with me. But I'm just curious if people can relate to that. In other words, let's say this was 2004, would you be as excited about the NCAA tournament as you are now? And I know for Illinois fans, for example, they're going, well, we're in. But I don't feel like I was as into it last year with Missouri as I was, say, 20 years beforehand. And that year I was in Indianapolis, where both Missouri and Illinois played. As a matter of fact, Missouri played SIU Carbondale, and Illinois wound up losing to Notre Dame, if memory serves. And they both happen to be at the same location. So I'm just curious where people are on that. Just kind of a compare and contrast as we are on the threshold of the NCAA tournament. And Jackson's made an announcement that he refuses to watch the Blues and Avalanche. That's how you open the show. And that was stunning, right. by That's the right. way. I was disappointed right. in that. And I hope management pulls you aside. So do with that what you want. College basketball needs to go to the college basketball eligibility rules. You can go pro at high school, but if you go to college, you have to stay 3 years before going pro. I think that would help with the star factor. What do you think about that opinion, Jackson, from the 314?
It's not the worst idea I've ever heard. What I would say is that the NCAA and the NBA work hand in hand in some things. wouldn't necessarily like that. Some guys might take 1 year or 2 years to fully develop into real pro talents. And now, of course, you can make money in college basketball, but the money you can make in the NBA,
right,
especially getting there quickly. Like, you want to get there as soon as possible.
Sure, yeah.
Because if you, I mean, you saw Jaylen Brown, who played for the Celtics for 8 years, signed a deal where he's going to make $40 million a year. You know, it's crazy.
Gabe's viewpoint is totally aligned with how I feel. College basketball has become college baseball. The best players are already pro in some capacity. That's from the 314. What do you think about that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are different ways to get to the league now, too. You don't necessarily have to go to college. I totally understand people not being as into college basketball. It is hard to follow it year in and year out because players move around like crazy. The best players move on. It's hard. The game is much different now. I would say that the game is much more skill-based, which I personally enjoy watching as someone who kind of grew up with guys around the same age. But I can understand it not being everyone's cup of tea. I think the tournament itself, you don't necessarily need that background on teams. Just like, here's a great basketball game and they're tied with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, I agree with that part. I'll watch that. But, you know, I felt like the country stopped, and I know you weren't around, for Kentucky and Duke and the famous Leitner.
Yeah, Grant Hill.
You're right.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if that would happen now, you know? And I'm not, and by the way, I'm not, things change.
Right.
And I'm all for that, but I'm just curious if this perspective is more hyper localized or if this is the national sentiment. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I realize I'm not going to get the answer to this program or to that question on this program with a local show, but I'm wondering about that in general.
When we talk star power, and like you said, Leitner, who is like the prototypical like college star, like,
oh, it had everything.
Had a fine
it
NBA
had
career.
Race, it had socioeconomic, it right. had the hatred of Duke or the love of Duke, and you know, he also came off to the fans as being whiny, entitled, which I just think was an undercurrent of the race socioeconomic element of the whole thing that always goes on with Duke. This goes on, I mean, it's been going on every year. It's like you could have a family tree from Christian Leitner and probably before that with like Danny Ferry. But with regard to college basketball as a whole, I just don't feel like you would be like, okay, I can't wait to see X team versus Y team and they could meet in the Sweet 16 or in the Elite Eight or the, I don't think that that's there like it was even 15 years ago when Missouri made it to the Elite Eight and lost to UConn. But the whole thing was like, I can't believe Memphis wasn't a one seed. And Missouri beat Memphis when Memphis was a two seed. And I think Missouri was a three that year, if memory serves, to get to playing UConn.
Yeah. And to what I'd say is I think an evolution of all of this and a new thing here is the biggest star in college basketball plays on the women's side. Her name's Caitlin Clark. And
I told you this on a commercial break yesterday. I'm actually more excited for the women's tournament than the men's tournament.
That is appointment viewing. When Iowa plays and she's on the floor, that is appointment viewing.
Like, she could play for the right to go to the Final Four, Angel Reese and LSU.
Yeah, just like
that
championship.
And I got to be honest with you, I would watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. Championship last year was an outstanding game. The Final Four leading up to that. So she has kind of become the star, the prototypical star
so
of college basketball.
My premise being it's not anti-basketball.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to like self-evaluate it because
right.
it's not something where like, oh, I'm done with it. I want to feel like what Gabe feels. I want to feel that drug again where you can't wait for the NCAA tournament. When I would go on the road with Missouri, usually, and for television purposes, and I'd walk in, and even if Missouri wasn't playing, you had all these games and the electricity in the building. Holy crap. And also, I would note this. I think that year that Missouri played SIU Carbondale, and then they lost to D. Wade mm-hmm. and Marquette in overtime, Steve Novak going off, and then Illinois lost to Notre Dame. I think that was at the RCA Dome. Mm. But I think one of the things that maybe lost in the NCAA tournament, and this may be going into the weeds, is they play these games in these huge football stadiums, and
that
you
stinks.
Lose the
atmosphere. 100%.
It really, stinks. When Missouri played UConn and when they beat Memphis, they were playing where the football Cardinals play in Glendale.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's a huge building.
Yeah. Like when
it's cavernous relative to the.
Totally. And like when Villanova won couple years ago on a game-winning three.
Jay White didn't even show any sign of enthusiasm.
Right. Like Jenkins, I think was his name, hit the shot. Like the building, like you shouldn't have been able to hear yourself
right.
think. Like the pop of the crowd should have gone crazy, but they're playing in this football stadium. It's like, the floor looks weird. It's raised above. It sucks. I hate how they do it in
all
football
right.
stadiums.
Good for you. I think there's something
but I think the star power thing is a big part.
That's what I think it is.
Like imagine Jason Tatum, a local guy, his third year in the league would have been his senior year at Duke. He was like an all-NBA first team player. Imagine if he was playing on Duke at that time and you've known about him for the last 3 or 4 years playing at Duke. It's much more of appointment viewing than, well, Duke's got this freshman who's really good. We've only seen for a couple months and they're not as developed as they will be in a couple years when they're going to make all-star teams in the NBA. It's just different.
Yeah, I share your opinions on that, Jackson. Your thoughts, welcome. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line. The YouTube chat with the Balloon Party Mafia in there talking it over. That's Tiny PP, John Scores, Frick James, and Chris Blankley talking with Droid Effects. And of course, Tiny PP runs things there, and he will expect you to pay some kind of donation to him for running that chat. And I think that's only reasonable. He does such a wonderful job in there. We'll take a commercial break, come back with the Little Piddles about Jack and Diane?
A little piddle about Jack and Diane.
Is on the other side of the break. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. It's driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. That's Jackson Bennett Burkett. And Jackson has a series of 6 questions for you here today on the program. Friendly reminder that with the tournament here, you can come watch the games this Thursday and Friday with 101 ESPN. And Bud Light. This Thursday, you can join BK and Ferrario live from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Fast Lane from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., broadcasting from Cyborgs in O'Fallon, Illinois. Then on Friday, you can join both shows, broadcasting live from Helen Fitzgerald's on Lindbergh. Come enjoy some food, a cold Bud Light, 101 giveaways, plenty of screens to watch all the games and more. Get more details at 101ESPN.com. Oh, give me those wings from Cyborgs.
Oh, yeah.
Give them to me now.
That's sauce.
And crinkle cut fries, how do you do?
Sometimes I'll take the crinkly cuts, Tim. I'll dip them right in that wing sauce.
So bold.
Little dippins.
Yeah, I think people who think you are elite and look down on people from 636 area codes and 573 area codes and 618, I think they hear that and they realize you're a meat and potatoes guy too, just like me.
That's right. That's right. Meat. I'm eating both meat and potatoes. And
poultry.
Dipping my potatoes in that tasty, tangy orange sauce.
Oh, how do you do? Jackson, do you have this little piddle about Jack and Diane?
I do. Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Right. Blake Snell finally comes off the board and into a Major League Baseball uniform as the reigning senior circuit Cy Young winner will pitch for the Giants. Much like his fellow Scott Boras client colleagues, Cody Bellinger and Matt Chapman, he did not get a long-term 9-figure deal as he probably hoped for. Do you think this strange...
2 years?
Yeah, with a club option or a player
opt
option.
Opt out after 24, like the Bellinger play.
Very similar.
2 years, $64 million.
Yep. Do you think this strange odyssey of an offseason for these premier talents is a one-off or a sign of what's to come in terms of the free agent market for players? And if you are a GM of one of these three teams, are you pleased with what went down, or do you think that this is somewhat demoralizing for everyone involved?
I think if you are the team side, you love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
For the team side, I think as a Cardinal fan, you're going, hey, you know, why didn't we participate in this?
It was a real waiting game out there.
And when it was all said and done, I mean, this was what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. I said, if Snell or Montgomery wind up signing, maybe they're focused on Montgomery. Deep down, we all are thinking right now, probably not. Because there's apparently a victory tour in Jupiter, Florida for this offseason. Very strange. I'm confused. But nonetheless, if you are an organization or therefore a general manager for an organization and the price of poker has been reduced and the length of these deals has been reduced and therefore the overall compensation packages have been reduced, you're feeling pretty good about that.
Sure.
If you are and with regard to the question on if it's a sign of things to come, if the economics for baseball shift materially because the reduction in television revenue, then you better believe that this is a sign of things to come. So keep an eye on this.
Do you think that part of the reason why they were on the shelf essentially on
Absolutely,
the market for so long?
Because a number of, first off, you have half teams that aren't trying anyway. But then of those teams that are left, some of those teams are teams with television issues and or they're smallish markets with television issues like St. Louis and the Cardinals. So, if you have less competition, then you have less demand. And if you have less demand, then you lower the overall compensation package.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of this.
Guns and Butter, Walter Johnson, University of Missouri.
Middlebush Hall. Had many a class there. I was trying to think, like, imagine if this whole offseason, all they got was Lennon Gibson. And, you know.
With no Sonny Gray.
No Sonny Gray. And our discourse the whole time for, like, months is like, what in God's name? They still extend Marmol. Things that, everyone's hair is on fire. And then at the last minute, Blake Snell signs same deal he signed with the Giants. Do you think, like.
With the Cardinals instead?
Yes. Okay. Like, same idea. So without Sonny Gray, like, I don't know, like, would that be a more enjoyable way to go about an offseason? Or did the way that the Cardinals did it, were solidifying up front, making sure, like, do you think the Cardinals made the wrong move?
I have to politely reject the use of the word solidifying. I do not share the opinion, if you do truly believe, or if you're just using that word coincidentally.
I'm just using it like the five humans will be pitching for the Cardinals in the 2024
season.
It's
like when I hear about the logjam that they cleared up this offseason in the outfield.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if five of my buddies were on a company softball team and we were in the outfield, I guess by definition there would be a log jam.
A fancy camp when the 6-year-old chiropractor is trying to get some PT.
Yeah, and I beat out his throw from deep in the hole at short. It didn't exactly look like Victor Scott. I will say I'm probably wrong more than I'm right, even though we both know that that's not true. But because I want to be a man of the people,
proletariat,
and meat and potatoes guy, I'll say that. But I am confident, I said over and over again, especially after winter warm-up, this whole thing about Yadier Molina, the man hasn't been in Jupiter. You know what? Honestly, I bet he has been in Jupiter, Florida, like playing at Medalist, but he has not been at Cardinal camp. And that became, when I heard John Mozeliak at winter warm-up, like somebody like was doing a Q&A, and he goes, oh, you like the Yachty thing, I bet. Isn't that exciting? And I'm kind of like, that dude isn't, he's like a scout.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys did not want Yadier Molina in the dugout, because Yadier Molina in the dugout means Yadier Molina is in control of the organization. And you know this. So when they started hyping that up, I'm going, oh man, they're concerned. That was my read. And so the fact that Yadier Molina has not been to Jupiter, Florida yet is so unsurprising to me. We just had, as I know Randy Carricker and Dan McLaughlin and Brooke Grimsley and Matt Rocchio on the opening drive had, Ozzie Smith in studio on TMA. He's turning 70 this year, the Wizard is. How about that? God bless the Wizard.
Just incredible.
What a wonderful ambassador for St. Louis. First class guy. And he was down in Jupiter, as he always is. Well, he doesn't have a role.
Yeah.
He just goes down there and he likes to work with the younger players and do middle infield drills and talk it over with Mason Wynn in particular. And, you know, Yadier Molina hadn't been there yet.
Right.
And so this was just like it was another PR thing.
And once he didn't show up for pitchers and catchers, I was like,
I wish I could have been taking action on that all day long.
Because, like, if you're going to go to spring training as Yadier Molina, pitchers and catchers, when they're the only guys there, seems like the perfect opportunity to talk it over with some of the younger guys, Herrera, see what they're feeling like, chop it up with, you know, your friend Wilson Contreras. Instead, when he didn't show up to that, I was like, I don't think Yadi's going to be around this ball club very much this year.
Because if Yadi's around, Yadi isn't going to go, well, you know, we just gave an extension to Holly and we brought back Maya. You know, he's going to be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's going to be a little confused by the situation.
Yeah, right. Jackson, it's 10:35, which means the time management is just off the rails today. It's one of those days. What are you going to do?
When we talk uniforms, that's when we lose our sights.
When I got the Randy Carricker Navy cap endorsement, it gave me a
high. Worth it, in my opinion.
We'll take a break, come back with the second half of Balloon Party. This is 101 ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. And Jackson's in the midst of this little piddle about Jack and Diane.
I am. I'm in the midst of it.
Yeah, you are. What do we got?
Well, let's get to the chorus. The Cardinals hope-a-meter.
Smooth. I think if you're listening, you never would have realized there was a 2-second pause there.
Right. It's just, it lets people like settle in. You know, you're in your car driving.
And you go, oh no, my radio went out.
Well, you hear the Sports Center update, you're like, oh, okay, they're getting ready to come back.
Is my phone buffering?
Yeah, and then you put your car in cruise control so you can really lock in. But, you know, pay attention to the roads out there.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
The Cardinals' hope-o-meter from The Athletic sits at 44% optimistic.
Now, you have to give context on this.
Sure.
I was scolded on TMA when I read your link about the hope-o-meter.
Yeah, well, some of our cohorts on the program.
Oh, you're throwing people under the bus. What a teammate.
Doug started like guessing like the Blues. I was like, what are you talking about? All right. So The Athletic posted something a couple weeks ago where they ask a simple question. They say, pick your favorite team, St. Louis Cardinals.
Nice.
And they say, are you optimistic or pessimistic about your team's chances this season? You select optimistic or pessimistic. And if you'd like, you can add a little note to why you're optimistic or why you're pessimistic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I answered it. I said optimistic just because, you know, eternal optimist I am.
So you are.
The fan base did not agree.
Right.
44% optimistic is what it sits at. For reference, last season, the Cardinals came into 2023 with 90% optimistic.
Really?
90% optimistic, which was up from 76% from 2022 after Pujols. That might have been pre-Pujols signing, to be fair.
Yeah, you're right about that. That happened late in spring training. So yeah, 44% made the Cardinals ranked 20th for the record. Number one, the Baltimore Orioles.
Tough to argue with that based on where they were at.
If you're a Braves fan or a Dodgers fan, I think you probably have a hope / expectation.
Yeah, that's the key, is expectation.
For Orioles fans, there is hope.
It's been some dark times.
And so that's where that comes from. You know, I would imagine, for example, if you were going hope-o-metering in the SEC for college football this year, Missouri would be higher than Alabama.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Because you have the newfound optimism of last year, and if you're at Alabama, you have no more Nick Saban, so you have two material changes, even though there's a good chance that Alabama winds up with more wins than Missouri, and Alabama probably would be like a 7-point favorite right now if the spread were set for Missouri and Roll Tide and Tuscaloosa in late October. And hell, that number might be available somewhere. So what is your question about the hope-o-meter, Jackson?
Does it surprise you, the number? Like, if you were to...
I think that is probably right on with where I would have thought it is. I like to set arbitrary percentages.
Right.
Yesterday, I came out of my Twitter retirement. I'm back in it again to ask a question on do you approve or disapprove, or do you like or dislike, whatever the hell I said, of the Cardinals contract extension of Ali Marmol. About 1,500 votes for my dormant Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
89.3 disapprove.
Oh, wow. I would have thought it would have been the 80s.
By the way, what a terribly worded poll.
Did you do it while we were doing the show?
Yeah, but still.
I can't type.
I'm talented enough to do so many things, and that's the thing that really excites people about me. Does that come off wrong? Here's the question. Here's what I wrote.
Do you like or dislike
of the STL Cards contract extension of Ali Marmol? So you would assume at that point your choices are like or dislike.
Right.
No. Approve or disapprove.
Okay. So I approve of liking it.
Right.
And I like that.
So that poll, the Gallup Foundation would throw that poll out, as they should.
Maybe it was they were disapproving of the poll, and they're high on Marmol.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. About 90% said they disapprove.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it would have been the 80s, maybe even high 70s.
No, I still don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what they were doing. What's the next thing that they could do? Because it's like if you'd like create a thing that you could do this offseason, like a series of things they could do to like piss off the fan base. Bring Matt Carpenter back. Okay.
Check.
He's available. I bet. All right. What else can we do? How about extending Marmol? Great. Bring back like Ty Wigginton for a contract. He had a big run.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Mike Leake bobblehead day.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Brett Cecil comes back to teach clubhouse chemistry.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm trying to think of, like...
Brett Cecil goes and talks clubhouse chemistry with Jordan Kyrou.
Like, bring back Randy Arozarena, but only to do PR prep for players.
Randy Arozarena Instagram stream day.
Yeah, so he doesn't play.
Joined by Mike Leake, Brett Cecil, and Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, like Dexter Fowler does like the in-game, like he's like doing the stuff for the in-game.
I just don't know what they're doing. Like, let's alienate this fan base. I have gotten, like, at first it was kind of a joke on TMA, but now I feel like I'm getting serious questions about, are they trying to sabotage to move? Now, this isn't, like, hundreds, but it's a few.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I don't think that's it. I just think they're just, I say tone deaf, but now I'm starting to think just paranoid. I don't know what's going on.
It's tough to be both tone deaf.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's a paradox.
Yeah.
All right. 10:47. I need to break. That's bad time management on my part. Standard. We'll take a break. Final segment of Balloon Party coming up. This is 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. The program is presented to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. You can watch it on YouTube. You can text in the Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. The chat is active on YouTube, Jackson. Why don't you go in there and prove that you're a man of the people and talk it over? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a lot of love, but, you know, sometimes I like to engage, but engage from afar. That's like,
watch this.
That's real close quarters.
Hi, this is Tim. I think you guys are really cute.
That's nice. That is nice.
Rate me from 1 to 10. There it is. Oh, it came from the morning after account.
Oh, perfect.
Say it came from Doug. Jackson, do you have another question here on this Little Piddles about Jack and Diane?
Yeah, how cute do you think you are from scale 1 to 10?
Honestly, here's the deal. I'll answer that question. I'm surprised that this was in, like, question 3.
Yeah,
especially when we haven't talked about the Blues and Avalanche. Two of the hottest teams in the league, both hungry for points, playing right here in St. Louis. Critical game. But no, I'll answer the question about how cute I think I am first.
Please.
I think if I were 6'2 with an asymmetrical skull, I think I would be the Billy Dee Williams of our generation.
Yeah, that'll resonate with the younger folks too. Lando Calrissian.
That's correct. In Colt 45 commercials.
That's right. All right, I do have a Blues question.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I almost never focus solely on one regular season hockey game for a number of reasons, but with the game against the Avalanche tonight, is this going to be a real test and moment where things can either show real promise or possibly even plummet dead in the water? What needs to happen this week to still give yourself hope that a playoff seed is in the Blues' reach?
Well, I like this question. Drew Bannister was talking this morning. I think it was Jeremy Rutherford tweeting out his conversation with him this morning. And I agree with his assessment. For whatever reason, the Blues seemingly rise to the occasion when they play the best teams in the NHL. Mm-hmm. See last Monday against Boston, but there are multiple examples of it. They beat Vancouver a couple of times in January. So it's the Ducks games on Sunday that you go, God, I hope not. The Blue Jackets game right before the All-Star game. So this will be a game that I expect them to play really well in. And I like that, so I'm looking forward to watching it. And as far as what needs to happen this week.
Yeah, like how many, like can they lose one game? Can they lose?
Yeah, they can. It probably, I mean, I guess it can. You're not in a do or die spot. But right. If you could pick one of the games to lose, it would be either tonight or against Ottawa. It wouldn't be the Wild game on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you're going to lose.
Because of the standings and Minnesota's need. So if I were picking, it would be losing to Ottawa, I guess.
Yeah. And if you're going to lose in a shootout, you know, get a point.
Sure.
Get a
absolutely.
Point.
It goes without saying. Yeah. 14 games left. I just expect them to play well tonight. The thing is, they can play well against this team. And if Colorado plays well, it's going to be very tough to win.
But, yeah.
You know, you saw what happened last Monday against Boston. That was the game. That was the game. I had moved on, honestly. I don't care. Fine. Send a take in about me. I'm like, okay, that's it. That'll wrap her up. You know, lost to what? The Devils, Islanders, Rangers, the Rangers 4-0.
Yeah, that was bad.
And it was like, okay, nothing's happening. We'll move on to trades in the offseason. And then all of a sudden, 5-1 in Boston. All of a sudden, 3-1 against the Kings. 3-2 with the shootout win against the Wild. And then the comeback against the Ducks. Because that would have been another one that you go, oh. So, the four-game winning streak, you don't have room for error. The one that they really need to get, probably. I mean, they got two playoff-caliber games at the Wild and then Vegas next Monday. I mean, it's on now, Jackson. You can focus on New Mexico.
That's right. Right. I like the Lobos are doing.
I know. And in these 11 seeds, I'm focused on the hockey team, which airs right here on 101 ESPN. I feel like as a St. Louis sports talk radio host, it's my job to watch the game and give my opinions on the game as opposed to New Mexico college basketball.
Bah. Let me tell you something right quick. If you're looking for a little sleeper, watch out for these Dukes out of James Madison against Wisconsin.
Not the Duquesne Dukes.
Not the Duquesne Dukes.
LeBron's guy.
No. We're talking James Madison.
You just released a five-star play on James Madison winning the NCAA tournament?
They've won 13 games coming into this game.
It's a 31-3 team.
They got a lot of wing scoring. I think they could have a chance against the Badgers.
Wow.
Just saying.
Anti-Big Ten take.
No.
From an SEC guy.
I have nothing but respect for the Big Ten when it comes to hoops. Football we'll talk later.
Wow. All right, there it is. I mean, the defending national champions from Big Ten.
Oh, nice.
Warm. Well, I mean, doesn't that mean something?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Oh, you know. What was that guy's name? Stallions?
Cotter Stallions. Wow, you're going Harbaugh-ing.
Well, you know. Right,
fair enough.
Elf in the room.
Hey, let me see what they're rating me in the... This is nice. It's like hotornot.com.
Yeah.
7.5 according to John Scores.
Nice.
Day drinking Brian's got me at a 7.1. Tiny Peepee's got me at an 11.
I want to. Can we give some to Day Drinking Brian? That's a great name.
Tim, you look like Jason Statham. You could be his stuntman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should roll into Wheelhouse tonight and just see what's doing.
And pretend you're Jason Statham.
The miniature version of.
Yeah. You guys see the Meg? I got him right here.
Yep. So what do you do for a living? I do HD2. No. I'm in pictures.
Yeah, moving pictures at that.
Thank you. Jackson, it's 10:58. If you got a quick hitter, I'll do a quick hitter. Otherwise, I got a sound story at 11:30. What do we got? You tell me.
I got nothing.
Wow. Was it like a four questions, and one of them was, how cute is Tim?
Well, they're all long form, baby. Long form.
I see.
It would take to the end of the show to even read the question. Little piddle about that, Jack and Diane.
Yeah, no, that was a wonderful little curveball for today. Blues and Avalanche pregame at 6 p.m. right here on 101 ESPN. Big week of hockey here, plus the tournament gets underway with the first four. And you'll be able to hear that tomorrow here with pregame at 5:30 p.m. on 101 ESPN. Then you got the Blues and Senators on Thursday in Ottawa, and then the Blues in St. Paul, Minnesota on Saturday for a Jim Dandy of a day game. Matinee session in Minnesota. That is coming away on Saturday pregame at 12 p.m. here on 101 ESPN. Time for us to go. BK and Ferrari are next. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party on 101 ESPN, driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.